If you've ever felt like your family didn't fit the traditional mold, this show is for you. I'm Jamie, host of the Queer Family Podcast. And every week we highlight LGBTQIA+ families and the beautiful, unique ways we build and show up for our families in a world that wasn't designed for us. We celebrate, highlight, uplift, and normalize queer families because our stories deserve center stage. New episodes every Monday. Listen wherever you get your pods.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGrath, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ plus content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ plus news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's make those babies, y'all.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I was the first member of Congress ever to have a trans child.
Uh-huh.
And I was the first one to talk about transgender issues on the House floor ever. When the Equality Act was up in 2021, I gave a speech about my daughter and how hard it is when you're a trans person around just public issues, buying things, you know, housing discrimination, education discrimination, employment discrimination, mm-hmm. all of it, right? Like everything that's in your everyday context, right?
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I am your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our beautiful identities. And of course, this episode is bringing you some nice realness there. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with former Illinois Congresswoman Marie Newman. Marie Newman is somebody who knows how to rally people for a cause. Marie is a person who knows how to organize, and I was extremely excited to talk to her. And she also happens to be a proud mama to a trans daughter, and she has worked hard for the rights of trans children, LGBTQIA folks, women, and many more. You're going to hear more about it. And this episode is just an all around how to be a badass when it feels like the world around you is falling apart, and how to find your people and how to rally for a cause. I think you're all going to get something great out of this. And Marie is just a great person to know. Marie is also an author, which you'll hear about that in the episode as well. And I am recording this on a Saturday. It's so funny, y'all. I got to let you know. Usually, I try to get these little intros I do before the conversation, like a week before the episode airs. I like to get out of the way about a week before so it stays current as possible. And right now, this intro is being recorded a day before this episode airs. Poor Gerson, my poor editor. We're down to the wire, y'all. And that just tells you what kind of a crazy time I'm having. We're busy over here in the Kelwoods house. As you know, my wife is dealing with breast cancer and chemotherapy, and I am helping my wife through her chemotherapy journey. And I guess we're all on a journey with it, my kids too. And we just shaved her head yesterday. Shout out to Leah, my hairdresser, who did it for us and made her look as nice as possible. But that's emotional. It's an emotional journey, y'all. If any of you have ever been through a cancer diagnosis and chemotherapy journey, my heart goes out to you, because this shiz is not for the faint of heart, y'all. Every stage of parenting, I feel like I'm on another stage of adulting. But this chemotherapy journey has taken me to a new level of adulting that I never knew existed. And I'll tell you what, I just filled out a form to find myself a therapist because it's time. It's time. So I hope my show can offer a little bit of catharsis for y'all. That's my goal right now. And I hope you get a little bit of laughter. We laugh a bit in this episode too, but I hope you enjoy this conversation. I did immensely. And I'm so glad to have someone like Marie on our team doing the good work, fighting the good fight. And I hope y'all are staying strong and safe out there in these crazy times. I love ya. Keep it up. Keep it going. And I'll talk to y'all soon. All right. Gerson, Helen, Beulah, my lovely assistants who do not exist, but who are giving me so much love during this trying time. Please roll that tape. Let's go. Let's go.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Marie Newman.
Hello. How are you?
I am great. I am so excited to chat with you. I've been looking forward to this chat for quite some time since we had our pre-call a while back. And then there was some cancellations here and there. And it's been hard to get us both to sit down and do this. But I've been thinking about it ever since our chat. I'm really excited.
Well, I'm so pleased to be here. And thanks for having me.
It's great. So you know what? Let's do this. Without further ado, let's just jump right into your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad, because I think everybody at home would like to know. Okay, are you ready? Get
sure.
Set, go.
Well, good morning. I'm Marie Newman, former Congresswoman from Illinois' 3rd District, and I have a little bit of a backstory. I started out in marketing and advocacy work and a bunch of things, and circuitously made my way through developing major nonprofits for the anti-bullying movement, worked in gun reform activism, healthcare equity, the LGBTQ plus community, and on and on. And I have the grand pleasure of having a trans daughter who's 24 years old and doing great things. And so I'm so thrilled to be talking with the queer family today about all those things.
Boom. That was beautiful. You went slightly over, and I don't fault you for it because you had a lot to get in there. And I just want to say off the bat, I am so happy to have you, a former congresswoman, advocate, completely on our side with all the craziness that is going on in the in the country right now. And it feels like across the world, but specifically here in our country, especially as pertains to LGBTQIA plus folks. Can we take it back? I want to know, how did you get involved in politics? I know you said you started in marketing and advocacy, and then all of a sudden you're a congresswoman.
So I was chugging along in my marketing career. I was an ad agency executive, but kind of had this dual life, if you will. I did a lot of volunteer work in a bunch of spaces. So I started out in women's rights and have my entire life been speaking out for women. Everything from reproductive rights to pay equality and on and on. Worked in healthcare reform because, as we all know, our healthcare system is a hot mess and has been for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the ACA helped for a little while, and then the Republicans figured out how to bastardize it. So it's still a hot mess.
It's still a hot mess.
I found myself spending a lot of time on that. And really, I had worked or I'd volunteered on, probably 25 campaigns over 25 years, right?
Oh, wow.
Was always working on something. And when my oldest child, not my trans child, but my oldest child, who is a man now, he's 26, he was severely bullied when he was right in the neighborhood of 9 to 10. I wrote a book about it, developed a manual for Illinois to use, my state to use. I worked on the Obama Summit for Anti-Bullying and did a lot of advocacy work. And simultaneously, I'd been doing, advocacy work for LGBTQ rights for, 10 years before that, too.
Atta girl.
Well, it was just some friends of mine that were gay came and said, hey, do you want to go to this thing? And then I kind of got hooked, right? Yeah.
So you do.
Yeah, right? And so then it just became part of my blood. And so when my daughter came out 11 years ago, it was real easy to see for me that this world was just not fair for her. It just wasn't. It was completely unfair. It was opposite day fair, right? So I had been working in all of these activist spaces, right? Everything mm-hmm. from gun reform, healthcare, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, all the things, right? And people start saying, you know what, Marie, you should run for office. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's dumb. That doesn't sound right.
That would be my answer too.
So, and I continued in activist spaces. And then November of 2016, the current president was president, became president the first time. Mm-hmm. And I don't use his name.
I don't either. I love
that. So at the end of the day, I spent the whole night, I was a hot mess, and I'm not a crier, just so you know, like the only two times I've cried is when my kids were born. So like, I'm not a crier. And so, so I just bawled that whole night and stayed up, and I joined this leadership delegate program called Illinois Women's Institute for Leadership, and I got accepted. And the applications were due the next day. And it was to learn how to run for office and then learn how to govern. It's a year-long program. It's the best in the nation, basically. Oh. So lucky enough to be a part of that. Then I realized, you know what? My current, and this is funny, he was a Democrat. The Democrat that was in office in my congressional district was horrible on LGBTQ rights, horrible on women's rights, and horrible on immigrant rights. Mm-hmm. And voted against the ACA. And he's like, you know, I'm all done. You know, why not? Because nobody wants to take that on, right? Mm-hmm. Like nobody, he was an incumbent of 16 years. And I was like, oh no, I'll do it.
I keep saying this whole season, I've been saying, nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to fight this fight for us. Nobody. We have to. Well, it's time to step up, right? And this is literally what you did. It's,
Yeah. Nobody's coming to save us. No. I say in my new book, if you think somebody's going to come and save, I use this analogy all the time. You know, there's a party and everybody's looking at this big, ugly sticky ball in the middle of the room. Everybody keeps walking around it like it's not there, pretending. Sometimes you got to pick up the sticky ball, right?
Yeah.
And figure out how to fix it. So, and that's happened in the anti-bullying movement for me, women's rights, you know, LGBTQ rights, like you have to pick up the ball and run with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I did. And it's not because I was qualified. It was because I wasn't qualified.
Right.
And had a new perspective. And in 2018, I lost by 2 points. And then in 2020, I won by 4 points against 3 guys.
Yeah, you did. That's amazing.
Just to twist that knife a little bit.
And sometimes you got to work really hard. Sometimes you have to keep going back to the drawing board and keep it going.
Relentlessly. You know, I talk about this in my Wednesday Substack column frequently that like, look, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And when people say they've been working for years on things, they're not lying because it takes years.
Yeah.
So that's how I got to Congress in a very circuitous route.
It's really interesting because the root came from the bullying, right? The bullying that your son was experiencing. Mm-hmm. And these all have parallels to bullying, if you think about it. All of the issues you took up, right?
Yeah.
All of these are marginalized folks, a bullied child. And like, I'm dealing with some stuff with my 7-year-old son right now. You know, boys are calling him weak and telling him he has noodle arms. And I don't know how to handle it, you know?
Yeah,
so it's really hard as a mother when you see that your kid is struggling on any level. It's amazing to have folks like you out there writing books and creating policy that protect all of the marginalized. Yeah.
It is the theme. In fact, it's the theme of my book, A Life Made from Scratch, is that sometimes you have to build the solution from scratch. When you're bullied and there's a bunch of different ways to get bullied or someone you love is bullied, sometimes you have to make the solution from scratch. And you will figure it out, Jamie. You will figure it out for some because you're willing to, you're making that commitment. You will figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I volunteer in the library. This is a side note, but I volunteer in the library. And my son had told me at the dinner table the night before yesterday when I was at the library and the little boy who called him noodle arms and called him weak came up to check out a book. I tell you what, Marie, it took every ounce of my being not to. Did you say this to Orion?
Yeah.
But I held my tongue because that wasn't the right way to do it. But yeah,
right.
No, exactly. I'm going to figure it out because my brain will stop working on it now.
I can feel it coming off of you. I can feel it. it's true. And that's what it takes. It is passion and dedication and focus. Yep.
That's why I love you so much, too, because this podcast came from passion and seeing that there was a need for something like this. And that's why I feel like you're so similar in that, in just the way your life has gone. And I think you're just somebody to listen to and look up to in many ways. And the book you just referenced, The Life from Scratch, that's your new one that's coming out next month.
It comes out March 18th, although you can order it now on Barnes & Noble and bookshop.org. It comes out March 18th. I can't believe it because I got the contract, oh gosh, almost a year ago. It was May of 24. So it's almost like, oh no, it's here. It snuck up on me. Oh gosh, it's here.
That's fast though. You churn that out fast. 1 year, it takes a lot of, it's a lot of work. Get a book done it in was, a year.
Although I'll tell you, because I'm writing a fiction book right now, a nonfiction book like mine is a prescriptive memoir is much easier because you're just, you know, tippy tapping your life, right? That's easy.
Yeah.
Try making up 40 characters and 70 scenes. That's a little, rougher and tougher.
That's very different. You got to get in the minds of many, many people.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. You wear many hats. Many hats, I'm learning. Okay, so can we take this? I would love to hear a little bit about your kind of your journey, your family's journey with your daughter. And you were already involved in LGBTQ activism.
Yeah.
Right. So did that spurn anything else? And just I'd love to hear the story behind that whole thing and just...
Our family's story is not unlike many families where you know something's really bothering your child and can't quite get at it. And trans kids typically go through a few permutations until they get where they know they are, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to give them the space to do that, right?
Yeah.
So what happened with Evie, my daughter, she's now 24. This is very common, you know, this is that trans kids frequently come out when they're around puberty because they're realizing things, right?
Right, right.
Things aren't right. She originally started getting very bubbly child. I won't dead name her, but she had a different name when she had a male gender. And so when she was male, she started around puberty to get very depressed. And it was very unlike her, right? And she went literally down to where she was barely speaking. And we had been through, I think we went through like 10 therapists, 5 different programs, activities, vacations, seminars. Like we did, we tried everything, medication, everything, and nothing was working. And these 2 therapists took me aside after Evie decided she didn't want to be with them anymore and said, Marie, she is really angry about something and we don't know what it is. And again, at that time she was male. Finally, I had the, this was, you know, whether you believe in God, the universe or Mother Nature or whatever you believe in, I happen to believe in God. God put this woman in my path about a year before Evie came out. And she had just gone through her son's transition, who went from female to male. So the opposite of what Evie did. I was so fascinated by her. We became very good friends. And Evie started to tell me that she was bi. And I said, great. Do you want to talk to someone about it? Do you want to tell everybody? Do you want to tell friends? Do you want, like, how do you want to handle it? Mm-hmm. And she said, I think I'll come out in high school. Because at this point, she was at the end of 7th grade. And I said, okay, well, your choice. Let's keep talking. And then she got sicker and sicker. And finally, it got to the point where actually we had a family fight and it was pretty significant. She was being rude and disrespectful to literally every human being she came in contact with. And her, my husband finally said to her, we can't take this anymore. What is wrong with you? You know, and so we sent her to her room. Right. And she went up there and she came downstairs and she said, well, Mom, I know I'm such a hassle and this is really hard on everybody. So I have 2 solutions. I can either run away or I can kill myself.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was like a serrated knife went through my soul. Like, I can't even explain. That was much more painful than childbirth, I will tell you. Like, it just was like nothing I had ever experienced. So we immediately, you know, engulfed her and said, oh, my gosh, we are going to take care of this. And I got you and all the things. Right. And so that night, I took my laptop into her bed and looked up programs and stayed with her because I wanted to make sure she was okay.
And
her dad and I kept, you know, taking turns and whatever. And the next day she was graduating from 8th grade, by the way, which made it a little trickier. So we kind of propped her up and got her buffed out, got her to the ceremony. And then the next morning we took her to this wonderful organization, which was a 12-hour day program for, it was especially made for adolescents that had depression and anxiety. So about a week into that, we came home and I was making her favorite dinner, spaghetti. And she looked at me and she said, "Mom, I think I figured it out today." And I said, "Oh, wow, that's great." And she said, "I am not a boy. And my name, it's Evie." And I was like, yay.
Just like that.
Yeah. It just something clicked where in a group activity, she was given just the right combination of spaces. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was magical. Right. And so I said, "I'm so excited." And so I hugged her, and my daughter has an amazing sense of humor. She's like, "Okay, Mom, don't get nuts now." Like,
because you're going to get nuts.
I know, right? Well, she knows I'm so type A. So this is so bad. About a year later, I finally got the guts to ask her. I said, "Honey, you know I'm so progressive. Like, why didn't you tell me sooner?" And she's like, "Well, I knew once I told you, you would be like, let's go."
Yeah.
And she I was know. Like, "That sounded exhausting."
This is what I fear with my kids, because I'm this, "Okay, here we go. I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to fight everyone," you know, like, yeah. So I get it. This is my fear with my kids. I'm too much.
I know, right? And I know that about me. So it was very funny. She tells the story funnier, but like, I just laugh so hard when I think about that, because she's so spot on, right?
Oh, yeah. I love it. And so just like putting up a mirror to today's society versus then, like, can you imagine if that program wasn't there for her? Yeah. If programs like that didn't exist, right. which is in essence,
yeah,
what they're trying to, a place they're trying to get to, which is scary and so heartbreaking, because we are talking about literal lives here. Literally, we are talking about
quite literally
saving lives. And I'm so like grateful for you to get that. It's, oh my God, it makes me angry. So then from there, were you in office at this point, or this was before that?
No, this is about, let's see, 2 or 3 years before I ran. That's when people started asking me, and I was like, "Look, I've got to get her into a good." So I got her into Lurie's gender identity program, which is very well known and really saved her life, because immediately they took her in. And they had a family program where we could talk to parents that were figuring this out too. I was lucky enough to be able to take 3 months off work and learn how to be the mom of a trans child, because I had no idea. I mean, obviously, right. I, you know, intuitively as a mom, you know what to do, but like, there are some very specific things you have to learn. And there's a lot, mm-hmm. there's a lot to learn right away.
Yeah.
And it's not just pronouns, right? It's a lot. So we did all that, and we worked with, and then we ended up being spokespeople for the program and went to different seminars for people and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
It was that God bless them too. They were a lifesaver in the same way you said it, Jamie, like they saved her life and our lives.
Right. Because it's a family thing, and everybody needs to be on board. And, you know, this is why, like, I've had a lot of, I call them allies on this season, who are not necessarily members of the LGBTQIA community, as I like to call it. But I mean,
it's so pretty that way.
I know. It's so much better. I'll steal that from you. Yeah. LGBTQIA. It's my favorite way to say it now. And it uses all of them. So LGBTQIA. Yeah. But, you know, I've had a lot of allies, but you are actually LGBTQIA adjacent, because you are the mother of a LGBTQIA child. So now you are in a queer family. And yeah. I just think that, but we need the cisgendered white women, myself included, to fight this fight for these children and these people who are really, really getting bashed right now in our country. It's just insane. And once they're done with that, they're going to come for the next group. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, this is we're going down the totem pole here.
And in fact, I don't even think that it'll be one at a time that they'll try to pick off. I think it's everything. And there are, I mean, with DEI, that was a good way to hit at everybody, right?
Yep.
So as they, you know, I think they're breaking things and breaking glass and hurting everybody all at once. By the way, this resolution that passed last night in the House is the plan for the bill, right? So this resolution that they passed is the budget plan.
Which one are we talking?
Last night in the U.S. House of Representatives, they passed the budget plan, which took away almost $1 trillion out of Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how that translates. You know about this stuff too, Jamie, is that that means that a lot of LGBTQ programs will be taken away. People that are disabled and elderly or can't afford health insurance, that will be taken away.
Yeah.
They will be put through a living hell. Hospitals will close.
Yeah.
Programs like you and I just talked about will close. So yeah. All of these things will happen very quickly. So it's a way back to our original premise. It hits everybody all at once. And they like that. They like that. They're excited about that.
They want to do that. They want to do that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, y'all. In the name of social justice, which we're talking a lot about today in this episode, I want to take a second to talk about my promo code with California Cryobank. You're going to use code love is love for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And here's why you should use California Cryobank. While some companies are taking away their DEIA initiatives, California Cryobank is not. California Cryobank really does work when it comes to our LGBTQIA community and making families for us. Here's some things they do to show up for the LGBTQIA community and some of the reasons why I love them so much. They offer free vial transfers between partners because switching uteruses is a thing, y'all, for many of us. They offer legal and financial resources, like they will draft up a second parent adoption letter for you if you need it. They offer very diverse donor options, which is good because we come in all colors, shapes, and sizes, and we should have donors that reflect the choices we want in our donors. And they have been an ally to the LGBTQIA community for 45 years and counting. If those reasons don't make you want to check them out, I don't know what will. You're going to go to cryobank.com. You're going to enter code LOVEISLOVE, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that promo code for a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more info about the donors. Go check them out. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource for us queer folks when it comes to family building. All right, let's get back to the episode with Marie, and let's make those babies and come tell me about them. Okay, thank you very much.
Love is love.
Hey, it's Hillary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
How are y'all handling, just as a family, the stuff that's with the whole gender markers on passports and like, how are you handling this? I just spoke with another guest who they actually made their kid had an X gender marker because they're not non-binary. Yeah. And they had a family meeting the day after the election and decided to roll backwards. And she started crying just saying it because heartbreaking, but her child was a teenager and they didn't want a target on. So how are y'all handling all the pushback?
I'll just say we were very lucky. Most states are not like this. So when Evie turned 15, I had her vital records all changed. So she is now known as a female with the names and got her birth certificate changed, her social security, her passport, all of those things.
Right.
So we won't have to go through any of that because there won't be any question. However, many states don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of really good Lambda Legal is a great resource, as are many others, that help families walk through that and like how you can protect your child and defend yourself. But do get studied up on that because there's a bunch of ways to protect your child or your loved one if it's an adult. But the problem is for the non-binary community. That's like the biggest problem right
because
now.
Because it's not recognized now. That was the decree.
Yeah. They do not write. Yeah.
So dumb.
It is. It's so capricious, right?
Yeah.
It has no root other than discrimination and hate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
bigotry. It's just this. Oh my gosh, it makes my hair on fire.
Me too. And we need more of us getting our hair on fire over this and speaking up about it over and over and over. I feel like a squeaky wheel all the time, but oh God, this stuff is crazy.
It is.
So that's good that was an option. And that sounds like it might still be an option in some states. So everybody needs to really.
Yeah, there are some states where you can have all of your vital records changed. So then you're kind of safe. And if you've already had it done, even better.
Right.
Honestly, I had that work done. I did it between the time Trump got elected in early November of 2016 and December, I sat in the Social Security office for 5 days straight to make sure I got all this stuff for like 8 hours of time. I brought my work with me because I was really worried he would do it then. He didn't do it the same way that he's done it now.
Right.
But so we were lucky I got it done.
I'm always saying get everything buttoned up as soon as you can.
Yeah, I agree. Agree. Such good advice.
I still talk to people who haven't gotten their second parent adoption yet. And I'm like, listen, as queer couples, we got to get that second parent adoption. You need to, everybody, it's go time, especially right now. Get all your eggs in a row. What's the saying?
That's right.
Get your chickens in a row. Oh, let's not talk about chickens right now, though. Oh, God. It's birth. This world's on fire. But So another reason I was like really excited to talk to you, Marie, is because the listeners know all about this, but I'm going through a lot of crazy stuff with some Moms for Liberty affiliations in our school district. And my kids go to school in Chelsea, Manhattan.
You would think that would be like a really good place to.
My wife and I have been kind of like speaking up about this for almost 2 years now, ever since the Moms for Liberty kind of infiltrated our CEC, Community Education Council, and it's fallen on deaf ears. And you have organized so many political movements. Like you know how to do this. So I've been really excited to talk to you to just try to garner some kind of advice for when you feel like everything is failing to get the people who should care to care.
Yeah.
What do you do? And when the other side, let's say Moms for Liberty, the group that is affiliated with Moms for Liberty, is so organized, and we have a new CEC election coming up, and right now it's go time, we need to get people to oust these.
Yeah.
But the Moms for Liberty people are so organized. They have a strategy that worked in the last election, and they're better now, you know? So
yeah.
What do you do when you're just, and I've met with people, I have, now I'm in little tiny groups here and there, and we're trying to organize, but we're just like pulling at straws, it feels like, in many aspects. And the parents at my school still are not listening. They're not hearing what I'm saying.
So what I did, and there's no perfect way to do this, I will say that there are some things that do help. And some of it is as basic as tell your story. Mm-hmm. So tell your singular story. When I built an anti-bullying movement in my community, where it was very significant, nobody wanted to talk to it, and everybody wanted to be Mayberry, right? You know,
because
that's how everybody rolls. I started telling my story at parties, at mom lunches, at PTA, parent-teacher organizations. I started just opening up and saying, yeah, my child's being bullied, and it's very severe, and this is what's going on. And then I paired up with a mom. Her name is Jackie, one of my dearest friends. We wrote the book together. My first book 13 years ago, we paired up and we just started being very honest. I called it being bluntly honest about the problem.
Yeah.
And over a period of months, sure enough, we started getting calls. I'll never forget this. One time we were at a parent-teacher meeting. I told a few people the story of Quinn that, you know, and he was so traumatized by this. We had him in the hospital at one point. So it was very severe. So I came home and I got 60 phone calls, 60 moms and dads crying. And one said, our child tried to commit suicide. And that's when, oh my gosh, that set my hair on fire. And that made me leap off the couch. And I stayed up all night that night too, figuring out how do I get this school board to pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
And none of them wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
So then, and I was trying to solve my son's problem, Quinn's problem, my oldest child, not Evie, but my oldest child. And I was working on that and the principal wouldn't see me. So,
oh my God,
I'm very good. I'm very good at an individual protest, I will tell
very
you. So
persistent, I see.
Oh, you just have never. I am quite tenacious. It scares people. So the principal wouldn't give me a meeting. So I finally went to his office. I brought a poinsettia to the staff in the office because they'd been very kind to my son.
That's smart.
And I went to thank them. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to be setting up my office here because I had a home office. I'm going to be setting here. So I brought one of those little TV tables.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Yes, you did, Marie. Wow.
And then I set up my laptop and I brought a big book of data that I was working on for this marketing research project. And so the principal had to walk by me every time he went to the restroom or went to a meeting.
Wow.
So I kept on saying, hey, whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
I'm here. And so I did that for 3 days. And he finally said, okay, Mrs. Newman, we'll meet. And I was like, yeah, we are. And no, at first he said, the first day he said, well, you can't be here. And I'm like, oh, yes, I can. Oh, but I can. And so he finally met with me. And then that triggered a meeting with the superintendent. And then I told them that I was going to call the regional superintendent if I didn't get a meeting with the board of education at our school. Mm-hmm. And so we got that meeting. I presented the data I knew, those 60 phone calls, how many incidences. It was a town of 37,000 people. That was a significant number. And there was more. And then talked to, at that time, you didn't hear about kind of suicide by bullying, right? That, you know, that was the reason for the suicide. And it was more shocking. So they were shocked.
Yeah.
Simultaneous to that, I was building a pool of experts. So child experts, development experts, LGBTQ experts, family experts, administrative staff experts, teacher experts, all of that, and was creating this cadre of folks that joined me in this meeting. Of those 60 parents tried to get people to speak out. Not very many wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then we were like a big group. We're about a 100-person group. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, look, there's power in numbers, and I'm going to make this super uncomfortable for you if you don't start listening to us and start building a policy. And so over the span of, with that group, we stood fast. So it's about getting a group together that has a mix of parents and experts in
yeah.
it to be powerful, and make sure you have a couple of attorneys in there.
Yeah.
And the attorneys can be scary, like get them to be scary.
Oh, yeah. I'm hearing again and again, and I keep, this is like my mantra this year is keep speaking up. And that's not, it's not easy for me. It doesn't come natural. I don't like to be a thorn in someone's side. I sure. don't like to rock the boat. It's sure. very hard. But at my school, our school in particular, there's one person who, one CEC representative who is actually our vice president of the PTA as well, continues to vote against trans kids. It's in the CEC. And he's a member of the Lgbtqia community, which is even more. Yeah. Yeah.
That breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm. I speak up with all the moms that I can. He's always standing right outside school. He is always right there. So I drop my kid off and I know what I need to do. I know I need to go stand in the little circle of squaggle of moms who's always like at his, you know, because he's a single dad. He's such a great guy. And he really yeah. knows the system, and he really does things for our kids. And he's always around. It's like, Jesus, come on, open your eyes, come to a CEC meeting and see how he's voting. I need to speak up more is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
However, at the CEC meeting, there have been protests for the past year that because the trans community learned of this. They tried to basically ask the DOE to reconsider their inclusive sports policies in regards to gender, just to reconsider, right? Because they don't have power anyway. They can't make things pass. But and the DOE, and then they passed it, and then the DOE immediately shut it down and was like, that's never happening. So now the fight for the past year has been rescind it. Rescind what you put down on paper because you're harming our children even by saying it out loud. Rescind it. And they refuse to rescind it. And he continuously votes no on rescinding it, which I sat down. I had coffee with him. I tried to appeal to his better senses, his compassion. That didn't work. I mean, it's crazy. But there's a huge organized effort now with lawyers, trans lawyers. I mean, people come, protesters come, and then now the other side, they come. So there's like counter protests. It's crazy, Marie.
Yeah.
For a while, they were like yelling when the Moms for Liberty folks spoke, and then that got scary, and then they were going to start taking people out of the meeting. So now they do the Macarena while the folks on the other side speak. It really is.
I love that.
They're like trying to learn new dances to do in the back. It's really ridiculous. I mean, it's insane.
I'll give you one other idea that I did on the House floor. So I was the first member of Congress ever to have a trans child.
Uh-huh.
And I was the first one to talk about transgender issues on the House floor ever. When the Equality Act was up in 2021, I gave a speech about my daughter and how hard it is when you're a trans person around just public issues, buying things, you know, housing discrimination, education discrimination, employment discrimination, mm-hmm. all of it, right? Like everything that's in your everyday context, right?
Right.
So I talked about that. And then I had to go to a committee meeting and I was with mostly Republicans and they started slamming trans people. And so there's several procedurals you can offer to grab the floor and ask the chair to have the floor. And mm-hmm. so I did. So I took my 5 minutes and I asked the three most egregious players, white men over 50, three Republican white men over 50. Of course, I know it sounds so incredibly stereotypical, but it's true.
It's true.
So I looked right at them and I said, I want you to do a little experiment. I want the three of you to get up tomorrow morning and you appear to be males and you appear to feel male. Is that correct? And they're like, yeah. And I said, great. So I want you to do a little experiment because I think it'll help you mm-hmm. understand some things. I want the three of you to wear women's clothes, women's makeup, talk like a woman, and pretend like you like it.
Yeah.
And see how it goes and see how you feel after a week. Mm. If you are incredibly stressed and have probably mental health issues by then because you're so stressed out and depressed.
About how others are going to perceive you.
That is right. And you're not acting like your authentic self. So they all looked at me like, well, you're crazy. I'm like, no, that's what it is.
Yeah.
My daughter was pretending to be a male for 13 years before she was able to be her authentic self. Mm. And it did a lot of damage. So please tell me again, if you are inhumane, you obviously won't understand this. And that just says something about you.
Yeah.
But if you're a humane person, you will understand what I'm trying to say. So I ask you, try it. See what they say. See what the Moms of Liberty say. Because they're going to come up with every excuse in the book that, oh, it's not a thing. It's not real. It's all blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it is.
It's
and
real.
It's documented. And by the way, you know, as you know, transgender people have been around for centuries.
I mean, forever.
It's, yeah. And you likely know this too, in the Native American community, there are 5 genders.
Right.
And they're revered. By the way, the non-binaries are revered because they're special mm-hmm. and they have special kind of attributes and qualities, right,
yeah.
that others don't have. And so
if only
the coalition is the biggest part of it, right, is getting people from all sides. And then you're so right, Jamie, those one-on-ones, give it a shot because they may shoot you down like this guy did. But you also need to be clear with him. Like, shame on you for being part of the LGBTQ plus community and being a bad partner to one of the letters in that community, right?
It's like, that's crazy.
So shame on you.
Well, and apparently when he ran the first time, he ran with LGBTQ in his bio, like, and he supports, yeah. and he's a member of the LGBT. Somebody asked him recently, are you going to run and just take the T out? What's your plan?
Yeah.
And I don't know what his answer was there. I mean, there is a rally. There is some organization going on to try to basically get more compassionate people to run and kind of oust these people who really have the craziest interests in mind for our elementary school students, children. We're talking about them getting, you know, their college scholarships to sports. No, we don't even have sports fields in New York City. Why do we care that the, you know, trans girls want to play with other little girls? Like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. It makes no difference. And there is no evidence of there ever being a problem. Zero evidence. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like,
shut
it just drives
up.
Me. It just drives me crazy. And but I will tell you, there is a simple principle in psychology that the Republicans are actually better at. They're better at wearing us down. And
yeah.
we have to get better at wearing them down.
Right.
And it is about being out there, speaking out, protesting, calling, writing letters, and having these rallies. Be annoying. I can't tell you how powerful being annoying is.
Right.
And respectful and, you know, not, you know, physical in any way, but being annoying is very powerful.
Yeah, I know. And it's so hard for me.
Because that's how Moms for Liberty got it done.
I know. And it's hard.
You got to get over it. Like, I still have, like, with my column and my book coming out, I still have the most vile things said to me. I can't even tell you. Like,
I can only imagine.
When I was in Congress, when people found out I had a transgender child, they called me everything from groomer to mutilator to words that start with B and C, you know, like it was horrifying.
Yeah. I get a lot of that on social media, sadly, especially right now.
Which is fun. Yeah. It brightens your day.
Oh God. It's so fun. Every time I open it up and there's 100 comments from I call them hornets, because once one comes, it's like the swarm comes and you can't get them off you no matter what.
Well, you know, when you don't have anything better to do and your goal in life is to be unkind, it's, yeah, they all hang out together.
It's just hard to believe that that's some people's goals in life, but I think it is. I really think it is at this point. I think I'm learning a lot. Like my wife and I, we've been attending these CEC meetings every month for the past 2 years. One of us will go and one of us attends on Zoom. And I'm usually the one on Zoom staying home with the kids and I'm up in the comments on the Zoom. So I am annoying there, but my face isn't there. So it's easier.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife has spoken a couple of times. She's got more courage than me.
More chutzpah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going tonight. There's a meeting tonight.
Good.
And what I'm hearing from you is I need to figure out more ways to be annoying in my actual school, because I've found people that come to these CEC meetings. There's a big group of folks who are like-minded and are working hard to overturn this. But at my school, I haven't found the people.
You can always go if there's other school groups on Facebook or Threads or any of the platforms. Blue Sky, whatever you're on.
All of them.
Put a call out. Put an APB out. Say, look, I'm looking for like-minded folks in the Chelsea area.
Mm-hmm.
District may 2. Be willing to go and stand up for children.
Yeah. I mean, I have a platform. I should have been doing this the past year. That's a really good point, Marie.
Just ask. Do an APB. I do it all the time. And you know what? People come.
Yeah.
Because people are worried and concerned. Particularly right now.
Yeah. I should put a video up today. You're right. Yeah. You're right, Marie. Because I'm going tonight. Oh, my God. It's really hard and it's so scary. And there's so many days I just sit there and I feel helpless and hopeless. Like, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. And I'm trying. And I think a lot of us feel that way. We feel really helpless right now. And we're just watching it all burn. And it's really scary. So we got to find our people.
Like, if you do things like op-eds, does Chelsea have a little paper? Like a neighborhood paper?
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, or if there's a section. So if New York Times has a neighborhood section or that kind of thing, try to write an op-ed in there. Not that newspapers are very well read. It's social media is really where you can get biggest bang for your buck. But
yeah.
And try to get on a radio show and say, look, I run a podcast for a reason, is that we need to support all kids. Mm-hmm. All these kids deserve support. And that's why I run this podcast, to make sure that everybody's getting the support that they need. And it's fair, because right now things are not fair. Our kids are being treated unfairly.
You're right. There's so many things I could do.
I know. And there's only, you have a job to do, right? And you have kids to raise, right? So I feel your pain. Like when I was doing all that work in anti-bullying, LGBTQ rights and healthcare rights, I also was running a management consulting company. So, and then I built a national nonprofit on the side and I was kind of working myself into the ground. So I, you know, pulled back from the nonprofit. But yeah, so I hear you. Like, I love that you and your wife are dividing and conquering. That's amazing, right? Because that's not always the case. So
it's great that we are fully aligned with each other too, because there are many couples that aren't, which I don't even know I don't know.
Like, I always tell my husband, I'm like, if you were like a Republican or something, I'm going to say I would have divorced you like so long ago.
I don't know what I would do. Like, we have a friend who they're totally like, one supports you know who and the other not at all. And we're like, well, what the hell do you talk about?
I know, right?
What are you talking about?
I know.
Oh, I don't talk to him about that. I'm like, whoa.
Awkward.
What is, all I have to talk about right now is the stuff going on in the world and my kids. That's it. That's what consumes me. That's it. I'm learning that you run in head on and you don't give up. You are extremely tenacious. And I think we could all use a little bit of, like, I could take a dose of what's inside of you.
There are good things about it and bad things, as you can imagine. Because there are times when, I'll tell you, I lost my reelection. I was only in Congress for one term. And I probably shouldn't have run because I was redistricted out. We lost a district in Illinois and I probably shouldn't have run. It was a fool's errand. And I lost by a lot. But I kept running through fire and I probably shouldn't have. So no, there's times when you have to know.
But also, you know, you were called to it and, you know, Kamala apparently lost by a lot, but I don't know what I would have done without her running.
Oh, I would have been so hopeless. And also it gave us a glimmer. And by the way, just for the record, she didn't lose by a lot. She only lost by a point.
She didn't, right? So, and they keep trying to spin it. and they say it over and over and it pisses me off. You're okay. Good.
It's really 155,000 votes. Like on a country of 350 million. So no, it was not a lot.
Ugh.
And he doesn't have a mandate. And I think even his folks are getting tired of him right now. Like, I think just wait till these Medicaid cuts hit. Mm. It is not like anything you will have ever seen in your lifetime.
It's really scary. It's some scary stuff.
When hospitals start closing, it will be quite dramatic.
And that's literally what's going to happen. I'm sorry if you hear my dog crying.
I don't know why. That's okay. Wait, do you have a beagle?
I do. She's...
Let me see. I love... So I have a beagle too.
Oh.
Mine's 8 years old. His name is Iggy. Iggy. What's that baby's name?
This is Kira. We call her Crazy Kira.
Hi, sweetie.
She's...
And I love your ears.
Oh, she's the sweetest and also... will drive you crazy. She wants to get under the covers because, yes, she sleeps with us. Yes.
Oh, totally. My dog said, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. So she's mad at me because I'm not putting the covers up for her.
We treat our dog like a person. Really,
yeah,
like a,
so do we. Yeah. I give that dog more love than my children. Like, I walk in the door, I'm like, hi, baby.
Oh, my God, right? Like, oh,
who's
my
baby?
Say, hey, baby, how are you?
And I'm like, Rose, did you do your homework? Let's go, you know? Not even... I'm so happy to have folks like you out there, Marie. I am so, just even speaking with you right now just gave me hope. And also all the things you told me I can do, like the op-ed and the thing, also got me extremely scared and freaked out. And like, oh, God.
Sure, it does. Yeah. And one day at a time, right? Take on one thing at a time. You don't have to take on the world every day. It's a dear friend of mine that I've known now for probably over 30 years, I went skiing. I hadn't been skiing since I was a little girl, and we were out in Telluride, and I was scared to death to go down a double black diamond. And he said, take on just this much of the mountain at a time, Marie. Just go turn and take another turn and take another turn. You don't just take the whole thing on at once. And that helped me in life.
I like it. I'm going to keep thinking of that when I go to the CEC meeting tonight. When I see our PTA vice president vote wrong again, I'm just going to take the turn. I'm going to take the turn. I'm going to make a new friend at the meet. Okay. There's little things.
And do let him know that you aren't going away. I think the most powerful thing we all can do as activists is say, you know, I wish you well, but just so you know, I'm not going away and this problem's not going away. And so I'm going to be here forever.
Well, I told him that, you know, when we sat down to coffee and we keep showing up. So I think he knows we're not going away. However, I had you're so funny you're saying this, Marie, because this morning at drop off, he was standing talking to a mom friend of mine and I had to thank her for something. So I had to and I just ignored him and I just gave her a hug. Thank you. But I said to myself, Jamie, you should have said, I'll see you at the meeting tonight, Craig. I'll see you at the meeting. Hope you vote the right way this time. I should have said it. I should have said it.
Go ahead and say that and say it so I come from a very Irish family. And so there's, you know, an Irish trick that you smile and you kill them with your eyes. So you're like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I'll see you tonight.
Yeah. See you tonight.
I sure will.
We'll be watching that vote.
Yeah. Can't wait.
I'll be the one that yells coward when you vote wrong.
100. And you are well within your right to do that.
I know. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But this conversation has been priceless to me. I really appreciate you. You got me actually thinking about a lot of things. And that's good. And I don't feel stuck, which is the scary thing when you feel stuck and you don't know what to do. Thank you for doing everything you've done and everything you're continuing to do.
Glad to.
And please tell everybody once again, where they can find any of your books, including the new one.
I'll give you a couple things. So first of all, my book that comes out March 18th, you can order right now and it'll get delivered on March 18th. You can go to bookshop.org or barnesandnoble.com, or you can go to my website, which is marienewmanstudio.com. I'll say that one more time. It's my name, studio.com, marienewmanstudio.com. And I have a few things on there. My new book, A Life Made from Scratch. Mm-hmm. Lessons from a Controversial Congresswoman, which has a lot of how to be an activist in there. So that's like, if you're looking to be unique ideas about activism, that's a good one.
That's right.
I also have some other planning guide workbooks in there that help people that are raising a transgender child, starting a movement, or if you're going to run a political campaign at any level.
Oh,
so those are there too. And so marienewmanstudio.com, barnesandnoble.com.
Okay. And that will all be in the show notes as well. So everybody can just click on the links. And then you also said you have Substack.
Yeah, I do have a Wednesday morning. My column comes out every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Central Time. And it is just Marie Newman. If you go on Substack and you join, just look for Marie Newman. It'll pop right up.
Okay. All right. Everybody go check out Marie and start those movements, y'all.
Yes, please, please.
We're
do.
Only as strong as we make ourselves because nobody's coming to save us. So let's go. Yeah. It is go time.
That is right.
This has been cathartic for me. I appreciate you immensely.
Good. I'm so glad.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.